Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Break the Cycle. I'm your host, Joshua Smith. I hope everyone's having a wonderful Tuesday. It is Tuesday. I think our background music is playing. I don't know. It looks like it's playing on the audio.
Yeah. Roll of the dice, man.
It really is. If you guys are watching and you hear the background music playing right now, please let us know. I don't know. It's been a while since we've done a show. When was the last time we did a show? When was Toad?
It was 2 weeks ago.
Sorry, guys. We had a bunch of shit going on. I had appliances just start taking shit on me at the house. And fuck, been hell doing sick kids. And I'm wearing my nice hat tonight. I hope everyone's having fun. How are you guys doing? You know, you hanging in there? You guys doing all right?
Doing fantastic.
Yeah? I think there. We got camera for you guys. You good?
Everybody watched Trump get arrested today.
Yeah.
No.
We're going to talk about that.
We'll get into that.
We'll definitely talk about that.
Chinese balloon free.
Yeah, we're Chinese balloon free still. Spy balloons.
Small victories.
I am recording tonight's episode live so that hopefully we can upload it directly to the podcast app afterwards. I think I am finally done with the fraudulent copyright claims. I hope so. I think we finally got it figured out. I don't know if you guys are aware, but using YouTube to do anything, trying to get a hold of their customer service, is absolute hell.
Oh, yeah.
Someone kept putting fraudulent copyright claims on our shows, and it won't let me download them. I still haven't even uploaded Toad's episode yet to the podcast app. But that will be coming soon. I finally got Scott's episode uploaded, the end of last week. Yeah, it sucks, dude. But now we're recording the show live, so hopefully I will have that saved in a file. As soon as the show's over, I'll just upload it right to the podcast. Like, we're throwing some stuff, and hopefully it works. I hope. I don't know.
What format are you?
I think the same one I have before. So we should be okay. We should be all right. Guys, before we get too far into it, of course, let's talk about some sponsors. We got TopLobster.com, the man, the myth, the legend, my good friend and partner on Break the Cycle, where you can get this great custom dark camo Break the Cycle logo hoodie that you see me wearing tonight by using BTC at checkout and getting a 10% discount, like I said. Or you can join the Patreon, subscribe star, become a member of the YouTube channel under all of my videos by hitting the join link, where you can get into a private Discord server and get all of Top Lobster's new gear up to 30% off 2 weeks before it goes to the general public. If he ever puts anything out, Top, if you're listening, you gotta put some new clothes, man. Throw them in the chat for our fellow friends. We do got Ryan over there wearing a Wood Chipper Go Burr shirt tonight, so he's finally rocking some Top Lobster. We really appreciate that. Show that shirt a little better, buddy. Show it off. Yeah, that's a good shirt. I like it. I don't know. Maybe you guys should go buy it. You can get it for 10% off by using BTC at checkout. Dude.
I did.
Yeah. And of course, we have executive producers of the show, anthemplanning.com, for all your emergency and crisis planning needs. Check them out today. See what they can do for your business, home, or personal life. They do a wonderful job that the government has historically sucked at, much cheaper and much more efficiently. They help organizations solve unsolvable problems in the technology and HR arenas. Their teams lead by example. Anthem consultants have led their own organizations through demanding periods of change. Now they help clients succeed in the face of technology personnel challenges. Guys, I'm glad to be back with you. I miss when we're not doing the show, dude. Like, I don't like it. You know what I mean?
It throws me.
Yeah, it fucking sucks.
Like, I had to get so free agency period in the NFL. that was my outlet.
Dude, I've been super obsessed too. I mean, because I'm a Cowboys fan, and this is the first free agency where they've actually made some serious moves in a while, dude. We typically suck at free agency. Bad.
Oh yeah, you guys traded for Brandon Cooks. So that was the big thing.
And Stephon Gilmore.
Oh yeah, Stephon Gilmore.
Yeah, and we've re-signed a couple of our really good free agents. We actually just re-signed.
You cut Zeke.
We cut Zeke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a big move.
Yeah, and then we just signed Robinson from Kansas City, who was on Tampa Bay for 4 years, running back.
Oh, Rojo.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's enough.
That's a good backup to have. It's way better than people are giving it credit for sure. We'll see.
Jones,
we'll see.
I mean, he can give you good 20 good touches.
Yeah. We're not going to sit here and talk football all night long. I promise. But it has been good. We did re-sign some great people too. I'm very glad that they re-signed Leighton Vander Esch. I was really worried about that one.
And of course,
we just re-signed Dante Fowler today, our other defensive end, who's really been really good for us.
Okay.
So, you know, good things coming. Ryan, how are you doing tonight, buddy?
Doing pretty darn good. Trying to channel that manic energy I had on the episode with Toad.
Yeah.
Because you guys enjoyed that.
We loved it, dude. That was the best. That was the best version of Ryan I've ever seen. Do you know why? Because it was your authentic self, dude.
Oh God!
And you can't argue with that either, because your not authentic self is on mitts.
I don't know. I think they're both authentic. I think they're just the dials of why.
There's
what
no
is
way. There's absolutely no definition at all where medicated is authentic. Zero.
But
I feel like you're muted.
I don't know if your authentic self is necessarily always the best thing, because, you know,
that's wrong.
If you don't take your schizophrenia meds,
yeah, but you're not,
that's your authentic self.
But you're not fucking schizophrenic, dude.
I know, but
if you were having paranoid delusions, I'd be like, yeah, dude, you should probably take your fucking meds, but you're not.
Yeah, but
you're just a little more hyper, and
no,
obviously,
I have a severely inhibited ability to function within society. I'm on Medicaid.
Yeah, it seemed really like great.
That was a day.
Yeah.
That was a single day, and it was not a very productive day at work.
I really enjoyed that version of Ryan. And I think our viewers did, and AJ did, and I wish you were more like that more often, but I'm not gonna lie, it was really good.
I'll try and bring that out a little more.
How to fight the inner turmoil when you're not on meds, because I'm telling you, you're a very much more likable guy without them.
So
someone
quick,
lied to
quick
you.
Question for you.
Yeah.
Why did I not have friends?
Well, probably because you just didn't go out to find friends. I don't know.
I was not liked by the majority of people that I met.
Maybe you were just hanging around shitty, dumb fucking people.
Yeah, they were dumb.
No, I've had people that growing up that just fucking hated me.
Really?
That we're chill now.
Well, I think you're better, and I think I think my opinion matters more than all those people who don't hang around with you anymore.
I don't know, but
I do. I think that the two gentlemen that you spend two nights a week with, that you hang around their family and their kids and shit, like I think their opinion matters more than a couple people who are no longer in your life.
Yeah, but I think my opinion matters the most.
But I think your opinion is skewed by shitty people that aren't in your life anymore.
I think it may be, but it also might be skewed by the fact that I was able to graduate college and hold down a job. And
yeah,
you know,
I think you could still hold down a job.
Be able to see past my own nose.
I think you could hold down a job on Medicaid right now.
I couldn't hold down the job I have now.
Why not?
On Medicaid. I'd be able to be nearly it. Productive enough. I wouldn't be able to rein my thoughts in enough to be able to complex
I think
problem
it's weed,
solving.
I think weed is what he needs. Honestly, yeah,
that's fucking medication.
Yeah, but I think you got to get closer to the mic, AJ.
Okay,
when you're talking,
I think one heroic dose of psilocybin, just to kind of explore some shit.
Heroic,
maybe
though. Like a quarter,
and then. And then maybe some cannabis after that, just to kind of for maintenance, see where it goes from there. That's what I would recommend.
Yeah,
I'm not a doctor.
Yeah, I'm not either. But I think that would really work. So guys, we got to talk about this Trump thing. Okay, I spent about 2.5 years listening to the Hillary was going to be locked up, and I was like, fucking all for it, dude. I was like, hell yeah, dude, lock her ass up. She's a terrible person. I've hated the Clintons most of my life. I was like, yeah, they're gonna get. I was like, for sure, they're gonna get locked up. She's gonna get locked up. She's done so much bad shit. There's no way she's not gonna get locked up. And of course, I've always kind of known in my head, like, okay, politicians and powerful people don't go to jail. I've always known that, right? But for some reason, I let myself believe that Hillary Rodham Clinton would be going to jail. Right, I really did, and I was excited. I was like, "Fuck yeah, this is gonna set a precedent for evil, shitty people." Nah, dude, I was wrong. Of course, I was wrong. For 2 years, I thought that. I believed that. I believed Trump was gonna get it done too. I really did. I thought he was gonna use the power of the DOJ to come down on the worst people in this country, right? And it failed miserably. And the Republicans at the time were super fucking stoked about it, right? They were like, yeah, lock her up. I mean, there's a shirt. They had fucking effigies. I mean, it was crazy, right?
And then they were like, hold up. If she can get locked up, then
right.
We can get locked right. up.
And so they just decided to, it just kind of died. The whole lock her up movement died, right? And of course, I was just jaded on the thing. But as we've seen with impeachment things and all kinds of stuff that the Democrats and Republicans do, as soon as the shoe's on the other foot, they try to do it to the other side. And so now
there's people that went into the Capitol January 6th. I don't support breaking the windows in. The people that did that are receiving the most serious charges have been in solitary confinement since they were brought into custody.
Right.
No trial.
Not powerful people though. These aren't powerful.
Nope.
People. No. These aren't powerful people. But so now the left is on the lock him up, but they've been on the lock him up chew for a while as well, right? With they were looking for ways to lock him up for colluding with Russia, which we found was pretty much wrong and false and never really happened.
For 4 years.
Yeah, I mean the Russiagate thing was. I would venture to say that the Russiagate thing was a bigger and more far-fetched conspiracy than Pizzagate. Okay, legitimately, way more far-fetched. Just yeah. the funny thing is. The top government officials in the world, I mean in the country, they never investigated Pizzagate. They investigated Russiagate as at every turn, every possible way they could, and they found absolutely zero fucking evidence.
Wasn't Russiagate started by like a BuzzFeed journalist shit?
I'm sure.
No, it was, if you guys remember, it was the Steele dossier. So it was a made-up dossier that was created. They tried to link it to Hillary Clinton for a long time.
Of course.
I don't think there is. You can't actually see any legit connection because that's what powerful people do.
Right.
Okay. They insulate themselves. So who knows exactly where it came from, but it was a British, it was like an ex-spy, ex-MI6 guy, Steele. And so the Steele dossier was about Trump in Russia, and there was like a urination thing in the hotel. It was supposed to be, he paid prostitutes to urinate on a bed in a hotel room that Obama had been in. That was one of the things that was constantly.
Here's 11 ways to clean piss stains out of your bed sheet.
There's a bug feed.
It was crazy shit, and it came out, and you're like, oh my god. Well, maybe it could be true, and they investigated the shit of it, and then eventually it was proved that it was completely false. It was a completely false document.
I'm totally shocked.
You know?
Number one. Makes a solution of bleach and ammonia.
Yes.
Well, here's the thing, dude. Like, I fucking, I hope that he did pay a hooker to piss on Obama's bed, to be honest. That'd be fucking hilarious.
If he did, like, that's the worst thing, dude.
It's pretty fucking savage.
A pissy Russian bed. Okay.
Yeah. So here's the thing. So we know that there was, like, absolutely no connection there, right? The Russiagate thing was a complete conspiracy that hundreds of millions of dollars in American taxpayer funds was used to investigate. Okay. Now,
well, you campaigned on it too. Don't forget that. That was a campaigning point.
Yeah. At what point does the left just stop? Okay. So there was
they
Russia.
Don't.
Well, listen, there was Russiagate. Okay. Then they tried to go after him for confidential files. Right.
Right.
Now they're trying to go after him because he paid off a prostitute.
Well, the allegation is he paid with campaign funds versus out of his checking account, basically. And that when he used even if he did use his own money, it was in his ledger as something else. It wasn't in there as I paid off a stripper that I fucked that I regret, you know. It was written as something else. And they're like, oh, he's hiding it. Well, you can hide anything on your own ledger. It doesn't matter. He didn't break any laws.
Right.
It was candy with an IE.
Well, and, and
you have to prove he did it with campaign funds, and I don't think there's any proof he did that.
Well, even if so, here's my other question too. So if the lawsuit named the campaign,
right? That's the thing. Yeah, he's saying it was defaming his name as Trump,
right.
Not as a candidate. He's like, you can't make the case
right.
that I'm doing it to save face for my campaign. I'm a businessman. That's a bigger chunk of who I am, and I was protecting that. It was hush money. Completely legal. You, newsflash, you can pay someone not to talk about you.
Yeah.
That's legal.
It's very legal. It's called settling out of court.
And yeah.
People do it every
day. It's a gag order. It happens all the time.
They do it every day. Like, literally, it happens every fucking day.
Yeah.
And it's just so funny to me because listen, dude, like, I don't give a fuck if he paid off fucking Stormy Daniels. Like, cool, whatever.
Stormy Daniels apparently owes him $300,000.
She lost her suit.
Yeah,
she
lost her
defamation suit.
Yeah.
But listen.
And Avenatti's in prison, right?
Listen, it needs to.
I think so.
Because she started the suit, right? I've never read the files from the suit. I never gave it any attention whatsoever. I'm not going to listen to some porn star try and be more virtuous than fucking one of the greatest businessmen in American history, dude. I'm sorry. I'm just not going to. I'm not going to do it. I don't give a fuck.
They're both not very virtuous.
I don't care. Right. Listen, I don't care about Trump, but I was fucking 8 years old watching Trump on Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, dude.
Right.
This motherfucker has been one of the greatest businessmen in my lifetime. Yeah, he's an asshole. Yeah, he's brash. I don't give a fuck about any of that. But I'm not going to listen to some fucking porn star from 1995 Vivid videos, okay?
She looks rough now, dude.
Yeah.
It's rough.
From like 1995, like when I was a freshman in high school, or even in middle school.
I was just born.
She was making Vivid fucking videos in the Valley, dude, for $10,000 a pop, okay? I don't give a fuck what she has to say. I don't care. Like, I literally am not going to go and spend my time reading a fucking lawsuit from Stormy Daniels, dude, okay?
Yeah.
But yeah, I do know this, dude. If he did pay out of campaign funds, right? If it's because in the lawsuit she named the campaign to elect Donald Trump, then he is 100% within his rights to use campaign funds to fight that lawsuit.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, dude. Okay. If he named the law, listen, dude. If you go out and sue a fucking campaign, dude, like, you're giving them the right to fight you with campaign funds.
Oh, okay.
100%. Okay. 100%. There's nothing in financial or in the campaign finance laws that say you can't do that. Nothing. Zero. And so that's my other thing. Like, I haven't looked at this court dossier either, right? Or this court documents either, right?
Yeah.
But if she did go after his campaign because it was while he was campaigning, then he's well within his rights to use that money.
I read the charges were that he paid her out of his campaign funds, and that was how they were going to get him for campaign finance corruption or something.
Right.
Like, I'm just like, hang on. Let's devil's advocate this. If he paid her illegally with campaign funds, does anybody care?
No.
How much money was it?
Campaign finance laws are some of the biggest fucking scam shit.
I don't care. It happened so long ago. This happened before he was even running as president. I don't know.
Listen to this. There's states where if you get enough signatures, the state gives you tax money for your campaign. Legitimately. I think Arizona does that. There's some other states too. Okay. Campaign finance laws are literally written by Republicans and Democrats, and they are the most fucking like shiesty, shady shit that goes on in campaigns every single day. And they're looking for ways to get their cut. Okay.
Yep.
The state's got to get their cut. For two, to criminalize you. That's what the state does. It wants their money and it wants to criminalize every single person it can. That's how the government operates, dude. That's why there's a family law court. Okay. Let's talk about just, what's the word that I'm looking for? Contempt. Okay. Like in family law, if you stop doing anything, if you stop paying your child support, if you if the other parent misses a drop off for a visitation, if any little thing, they'll hold you in contempt. They'll take a fine from you. They'll arrest you. They'll criminalize you. They'll take your licenses to work. They'll take your licenses to drive. They'll do everything they possibly can to make you a criminal because you're having a rough financial issue or because you had, like, say you were sick for a day, or that's how they work. And it's not just family law. I mean, all these systems set up by the government are made to make you poor, broke, destitute, and dependent on the government. Yes. That's what the welfare system, amazingly so, right? So when people start, I love when people on Twitter are like, oh, but campaign finance laws. And I'm like, dude, I couldn't give less of a fuck about campaign finance laws, dude. Like, I literally could not give less of a fuck about campaign finance laws. I get it. I was sitting vice chair of a national political party and I had to actually care about campaign finance laws. But like, personally, I don't give a shit, dude. Because it's literally just set up to, A, keep fucking people down that are not Republicans and Democrats, okay? Especially if you start getting into some of the, you have to raise this certain amount of money to get to be on this ballot. And
I've read some of that stuff.
It's rough, dude. And it's a lot. And it's just like the tax code, dude. They make it, purposely make it as confusing as possible to fuck with you on purpose. It's all done purposely. How many fucking tax laws are there, dude?
Well, I think some of it is just generations and generations of a little tweak here, a little tweak there. Oh, we need to change this one thing. And then it just grows and grows and grows.
No, it's shady.
And nobody ever takes anything away. And then you have 200.
You're giving the government way, way too much credit.
You have 200 years of that at both, like, at the county and state and federal level, and suddenly you're inundated with 200 fucking pages of campaign
finance. I'm telling you right now, you're giving the government way too much credit, dude. They do this shit on purpose. Listen, the Republicans will do something. They'll fight to get a law instituted. No, stop. Let me finish, okay? Don't cut me off. They will fight to get a law instituted, okay? I've been working in national politics for fucking a decade. I know how this shit works, okay? They will fight to get a law instituted to keep the Democrats and third parties down, okay? And then the Democrats will come in and they will get a law instituted to keep the Republicans and the third parties down. Okay. And these laws and codes are purposely put into these books to keep other candidates down purposely. Okay. So it's not that they just keep adding stuff and forget to take it out.
Well, those two things can work in.
Let me finish.
Those two things can work in tandem.
Finish, Ryan. Jesus, dude. So it's not that they forget about them. It's that they're purposely instituting these codes. And the IRS does the same things with the tax laws, right? Because the more confusing it is, the harder it is for you to get on the ballot, the harder it is for you to run, the harder it is for you to successfully finance your campaign without becoming a criminal, okay? They do this shit on purpose, dude. Trust me, in the beginning, maybe, you know, in 1800, they were doing this because forgetting about it. But for the last 100 years, dude, it has always been about, we have to fight this other entity. And the only way we can do that is to make sure that they're criminals if they try to run as candidates, dude. I promise you that's what it's for. And it's the same thing with the IRS, dude. Same thing. They make it purpose. There's over a million tax codes or some shit like that. It's fucking insane, dude. Insane. Insane. It's to purposely make it hard for you to do your taxes, right? Because if you do them wrong, they get to take more money from you. And they want your money. They want you poor, broke, destitute, and almost dead. Almost. But that's the big pharma that wants you almost dead. We can talk about that anytime you want, dude.
This shit was never meant to be monetized. You can go read the founding documents. You can go all the way back to the very beginning. Yeah. They knew about it. They knew this would happen, and they tried to put in things that would prevent it, and it didn't work.
Right.
Didn't work.
I don't think they want you poor, broke, and destitute. I think they want to take as much as they can from you without pushing you to the point where you will rebel.
No,
I think they want to extract every last dollar that they can without having to suppress an uprising.
Yeah, but no, you see, this is what you're not thinking of right now. Okay. They want to take every dollar they can from the people who have dollars. But the only way to justify that is by having millions of people in this country that are poor, broke, and destitute. Okay? They have to have you poor, broke, and destitute to take more money from the people who can never be poor, broke, and destitute, who will never rely on the government. Okay? Because let me tell you, people like Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos and all these big fucking names that have all this money, they're never going to depend on the government for their money, dude. Okay, they will depend on the government to help stifle competition, and the government's happy to do that, because as long as those are the big rich guys that have $100 billion, right, then they can say, hey, Johnny down on fucking on Poor Street down there, right? Living off $100 a month. He needs more money. And the only way we can help them is to take 50% of your funds, funnel 28% of that into the military industrial complex, right? And then we're going to funnel $300 a month into his pocket to make sure that he's safe and has what he needs. That's how it works.
Yeah, it's a little weird to me, but I would believe that they're stupid enough to not be aware of their own research that the army did in like the 40s and 50s.
I've never in my life seen somebody who calls them themselves a libertarian give the government as much credit as you're giving right now. We know they're evil. We know they're not dumb. They're evil, bro.
There's an argument to what you're saying.
Well, I'm thinking about the motivation. They're incredibly self-serving, but to create more a bunch of people that are poor and destitute, approximately 10% of the population falls under what the army wouldn't take in terms of IQ. So 82 is the limit that they
found.
You're
really underestimating the army right now.
No. They did. The army did extensive research, and they found that under 82, you can't do a task efficiently enough that you won't be a burden. And so that's approximately 10% of the population. That 10% is going to be poor, broken, destitute majority of the time.
But that's only 10%.
Yeah.
The government wants 50%. Poor, broken, destitute. That's how they operate. They need 50% poor, broken, destitute.
Okay. Why do they need 50%?
To continue to justify taking money from the other 50% of the country. The only way. If you said 0.5% unemployment right now, right? If we had 8% of the population falling above or rising above falling under the poverty level, less than 10%, less than 8% below the poverty level, right? How does the government justify welfare? To take more money for the welfare of people, okay? They can't.
Okay, let's define poverty level real quick.
I don't need to define it. There's a literal definition.
No,
already.
U.S. or global?
$17,000 a year or something. Yeah. Like that.
Okay, yeah. That's U.S. Global is $2 a day.
I don't care about fucking global, dude. Yeah, I don't give a shit about global.
Compares to the world. Yeah. Hold on, poor. The poverty line in America is not the poverty line in Africa.
Listen, I know that sometimes people think I'm probably just a big dumb idiot, but I've extensively studied economics on my own time. Okay, fucking extensively, like. I literally have read Human Action 4 times now at this point, okay? And I don't know if you know how big that fucking book is, but it sucks to read, okay? I'm not an idiot. I promise you, when it comes to economics especially. And I can tell you, dude, that one of the biggest fucking downfalls, especially of the socialist agenda in this country, right, is that they constantly want to compare the United States to other countries. And it's always about the Scandinavian countries, which are smaller than the size of fucking Texas, dude. Okay, you try to institute,
and also majority ethnically homogenous, but they
lot of the Scandinavian countries are no longer like that, dude.
Okay,
but
we can talk about that.
Oh yeah, that's.
Oh, we'll get into that a little bit. We'll get into that. We saw a video earlier today of outright fucking white bashing on the subway in New York, purposely and straight racism, and no one said a thing. But we will talk about that a little bit before we move too far. But I do want to say. Probably to anybody that understands economics, when you hear a leftist start talking about, well, the Nordic countries, the Nordic model, the Scandinavian model, you have to laugh, dude, because you're talking about literal countries that are smaller than the size of Texas. Okay. And you're telling me, oh, well, they have, you know, they have a 48% tax rate, right? But they're super happy, right? They're very happy. They have all the things that they need. And I'm like, you're talking about less than 1 million people in some of these countries, dude.
Not scalable. They it's always bring it up. It's not
at
scalable.
All scalable. You're
somebody
talking
about... Somebody needs to see a map of Europe compared to the United States. Right. Like, fit it on top of it.
So listen. So the only way to get this country scaled to that enormous, like, tax code and enormous free healthcare and free college and all that stuff is to have 50% of the people in this country completely poor, broken, destitute. It's the only way you're ever gonna accomplish it. And listen, and here's the thing is... and the reason why it's 50% a minimum of 50%. The reason why it's a minimum of 50% is because the government still needs to have their cut for the military, foreign policy, right? For all their pet projects, all their friends, right? So they have to take an enormous amount of money, more than what the poor, broken, destitute would need to be happy, okay, if they want to keep up their own shit, right? And so trying to scale, you know, one of those Nordic countries into the United States is just fucking insane, dude. Could you imagine 100 million people on free healthcare? Dude, could you fucking imagine 100 million people on free healthcare?
It's not, okay, I can imagine that, okay? The problem is, it's the bill that you get.
Oh, it's someone's going to get it.
At the end of the day,
right?
And right. It's not sustainable. Just not.
Well, it's here. And
well, for a while, I guess.
Yeah, for a while, it will be. And they know it will be, right? Yeah. But it's, we cannot, when discussing economics, I don't give a fuck about the other countries. I don't care. I don't live in those other countries. Right. And by the way, a lot of those Scandinavian countries, they'll talk about, like, well, they have one of the highest happiness,
happiness index.
Index, right? They're higher on the happiness index than us. They also have like a 82% fucking SSRI use there, okay? Because everybody's getting fucking free healthcare, right? And everybody's on SSRIs. Sure, they're fucking happy, like delirious fucking happy from Big Pharma.
80?
No, it's 82. Not that high.
Okay,
but it's
like, is that a real fucking number?
If you look at it per capita compared to the United States, and we have a lot of people on SSRIs in the United States, dude. But if you look at it in comparative per capita, okay, because no one does economics in per capita. That's the other problem, right?
Yep.
But if we're talking about healthcare and we're talking about actual psych med use per capita, those Scandinavian countries are doubling us, dude. And we have a lot. We have a lot, dude.
And then also, if you compare those Scandinavian countries versus Scandinavian immigrants to the United States, the Scandinavian immigrants outperform on literally every metric.
Of course, dude. Of course. It's mind-boggling when somebody tries to say we need to compare these other great Nordic states that are using this democratic socialism model. It's like, it's not the same thing, dude. And I don't give a fuck what they do. Like, and that's the thing. Like, I love when people on Twitter try to do this to me, because people think I'm a big dumb fucking idiot, right? And that's okay. That's all right. I don't mind. Like, it doesn't bother me. Those people don't know me, right? But like, it's so much different. It's so much different in a very small country like that for them to go, okay, well, everybody here is above the poverty line, right? We're talking their fucking poverty in some of those countries is like literally less than 8%, and everybody's making a ton of fucking money, and it's just a small like community vibe everywhere you go, right? And like, so yeah, maybe it works there, but it's not scalable. It's never gonna fucking work in the United States, because we have over 300 million people. Okay,
we have a very diverse population.
Yeah,
very diverse.
You know, and we can talk about the pluses and minuses of that, but obviously, when they compare those countries, when they bring them up, it's almost a dog whistle. You're just like, yeah, you mean the ones that are all white? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they are mostly, same. Yeah. Yeah. Some of them, not all of them. Some of them are very
religious. I don't know. But yeah, they've had a lot of immigration in that part of the world. So, I mean, their demographics are changing
big time. And they're fucking, and woo boy, democratic socialism is failing fast with immigration. Fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And there's a reason why, you know, libertarians are the ones that are like, oh yeah, we're all for whatever immigration, it's fine. But then the democratic socialists are the ones that are like wanting to lock up. they convey one thing on Twitter, but if you look at the policies of some of these people in government, they don't want immigrants, dude.
No.
At all. Fucking at all, dude. Nope. And it's because they're watching these models that they continually try to compare us to, right? And they're failing. As soon as they open the border a little bit, it fails.
They like the idea of, you know, helping refugees,
right?
And they want to give the image of that, but they don't actually want
to
do it.
You know who else found that out the hard way, right? And decided to lock their country down real hard with some socialism. Well, it wasn't democratic socialism.
Oh, Australia?
National socialism.
Aussies?
No.
I was thinking of the Aussies during COVID lockdown.
Think 1930s after the Weimar Republic.
Course.
Right,
the OGs,
the Mr. Mustache Man goes, you know, this National Socialism is not going to work with immigrants. It's just not going to work. It's not going to work. So we're going to have to get rid of all the immigrants, right? Yeah. And we're going to have to lock the borders down, and we're going to be a nationalized state, and we're going to have socialism for our people only. And they knew that to have that kind of country and that kind of economic policy, they could only do it with their own people. And Americans have not figured that out yet. And if we ever get to a full-blown democratic socialist republic, right, like Venezuela or something, that's where we're going, dude. That's where we're going. That's where we're headed. We will have breadlines. It will be a complete breakdown because there are hundreds of thousands of immigrants coming here, you know, every year. We will fail.
National divorce.
Yeah.
There will be a national divorce.
It's the only way that we'll ever fix this shit country, dude.
Have you guys ever heard the theory of the, like, 9 different cultural identities of North America?
No.
So there's a map that breaks down kind of the different, like, regions where the cultures are, you know, overlap. So there's, like, the Midwest, the Rust Belt, the Bible Belt, the Deep South.
Oh, yeah, I know those things. Yeah, sure.
You know, I don't remember what the Texas area is called.
Texas is the South, buddy.
Yeah, no. So Texas isn't like the same part as Alabama, Georgia.
No.
So Alabama, Georgia, split. Florida, whatnot, that's considered the Deep South.
It's split. It's split between the Deep South and the Bible Belt. It's split. It's a split.
Mm-hmm.
It's two different. They have two different identities in Texas. There's no doubt about that at all.
Yeah. So there's... You could probably break it down more, but kind of 9 broader ways you can break it down. Sure. And so in terms of talking about a national divorce, breaking it down across those lines would actually be pretty reasonable.
Yeah, I'd take them. Well, there's some states in the Midwest that need to get the fuck out, like Illinois. Got to go.
Yeah, Illinois. I think the Mississippi River. We should look at the Mississippi River as a pretty good
barrier. That's a good split.
Barrier. Yeah. That's a good split.
Yeah. But we'll take, and that's the other thing too. We'll take Missouri.
Yeah, I'll take Missouri and Minnesota.
Most of Missouri, we'll take Missouri. But the city's got to get the fuck out of Missouri.
What about Nebraska?
Yeah, we'll take
Nebraska. What do we do about Nebraska?
Oh, dude, hell yeah, we'd take Nebraska. Are you kidding me? Do you want to know something crazy?
I guess.
Do you want to know something crazy about Nebraska? By far per capita, the most registered libertarian state in the entire country.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nebraska, I'm warming up to it now.
What are you guys doing over there?
We're looking at map. Yeah, we're mapping.
This is a more
detailed
one.
Hey, just move
the
mic. You don't need to kiss him, dude. Just move it towards you. There you go. There you go.
But what if I want to be close to it? But this is like more detailed, but...
You know, nobody on the screen can see that.
Oh, Great Basin.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you should send this to him.
The Great Basin?
Yeah, there's a Great Basin.
Part of Texas is the Southwest, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Southwest had a lot of...
Southwest had a lot of breakdowns I didn't really notice. Yeah. That's interesting. We should look at that.
Yeah.
Should pop it up.
But I'd take most of the Midwest for sure. I think, because Minnesota's got to fucking go too, dude.
Oh, shit. Minneapolis.
Yeah, Minneapolis.
I think it's like the southern half of Minnesota fits in like the Midwest, and then the northern half like fits in with Canada. Like part of Canada.
Yeah. Yeah, Minneapolis can be annexed to Canada for sure.
One of them is just Alberta. That's one of them. It's like these French fucks.
I don't think there's anywhere in the Midwest that is as good as Iowa. Not even close.
No.
Not even close, dude. I think Nebraska's close, but Omaha sucks. Really bad. Lincoln's cool though. Lincoln's a cool place. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'd say as far as Midwest go, I think we got it pretty sewed up here in Iowa.
Awesome.
I think we're the best. I really do.
For sure.
I'm happy to be an expat to Iowa. Very much. Oh, Outlaw Thought's been a member for 18 months. Thanks, buddy. He said, joke's on you, Alaska is taking Canada. I think that Alaska should
all
go to war.
All four of
Canada.
You?
Alaska should go to war with Canada and just take them out, dude.
Yeah, amazing. If all of basically north of Mexico is just all one country.
Yes.
Why didn't we do that? Why have we not? And didn't Canada try and burn down the White House?
Yes.
Have we ever answered back for that?
No.
Let's be honest. It'd take a week.
Listen to me. Just pull the mic towards you. You don't gotta go that. Promise. You're okay. I got your back, dude.
A lot of the time, I'm trying to time it when he ends his sentence. Yeah.
It swivels, buddy. It swivels. You don't have to go
but,
into the kiss.
But I don't want to pull it away from him before he's done talking.
Jake Dahl is actually in the chat, and he's a cool dude from Minnesota. And he says there should be a complete realignment, would probably have to be down to the county level. I would guess the rural areas would want to split like out here in Minnesota. Yes.
Oh,
but so we're, but even so our state's pretty lucky. Des Moines is pretty good. Like as far as big cities go, the crime is pretty low. If you look on the crime index, like Des Moines is way towards the fucking bottom for big cities, dude.
I'm doing my best.
Yeah. The cost of living is very low still. We didn't send, I will keep reiterating this at least for the next 2 years. We as a state did not send a single Democrat to Washington. Not one, not a single one. Yeah. I challenge you to find other states that didn't send a single Democrat to Washington. I don't know how many, but there's not very many. Let me know which ones. I know there's not another state in the Midwest that didn't send one.
And I would say we have the best state rep in the nation in Jeff Shipley.
Jeff Shipley is the best state rep in the nation. I agree. I think there's some
fantastic.
I always get some pushback from the New Hampshire guys about that because there's, I guess, you know, obviously some free staters that became reps in New Hampshire as Republicans, maybe even one as Democrat. So they have had some decent policies, but I don't think anybody pushes as hard as Jeff Shipley does. That guy, I don't give a fuck what anybody says.
And Jeff Shipley, he's authentic, but plays the game perfectly as well to get things done.
Yeah, I've had Shipley in the studio. He was my first guest besides my mother to do a show in the studio at my old house. He came over for dinner. We talked. I went to his fundraiser. I love the guy to death. He's one of, if not the very best state rep in the country. He's definitely in the top five. And it sucks that he's had such a bad reputation with the Iowa Libertarians prior to the MC stuff because he really is helpful, dude. But he had a bunch of libertarians in the state talking smack to him because he wasn't a libertarian, right? And it's like, dude, shut the fuck up. That guy's, if you had played your cards right, you could have went and sat down with Jeff Shipley and been like, I know you're not in the Libertarian Party, but here's the policies we would like to see. And I guarantee you he would have grabbed a couple of them and worked on them because he is a Mises libertarian that one is a Republican.
He is advancing liberty. Who gives a flying fuck what letter is next to his name?
Exactly, dude. Exactly. Shit just drives me nuts. So anyways, back to Trump, where we started all this. Trump is not arrested. Did not go in handcuffs, as everybody kept saying for the last 2 weeks. Oh, we're going to see Trump in handcuffs finally. Yay, here we go, right? Do you think it's coming?
No, he. I believe he lawyered up. I was trying to find the latest thing on it. I think he lawyered up with some powerful attorneys and said, hey, the federal court's already kicked this out. You want to do it again? Let's do it. I think that's his attitude on it.
Yeah, I don't think I don't think he's at all worried about it whatsoever.
No, but I just want to say I don't think he's the same Trump from 2016.
No, he's completely
He's a totally different Trump, and I personally I think he's listening to political advisors that he told to maybe screw off the first time. I think he's listening to advice from
for every national thing, I always have a conspiracy in my head. I always do.
Absolutely.
Just because I know that we're never hearing the entire truth about anything. It's just how it is. Either we're not hearing the entire truth or they're fabricating something entirely. I know that almost probably I'd say 60% of the things that you hear that become national outrage are just straight up fucking conspiracies.
Yeah.
Right. So here's mine. Ron DeSantis was getting a lot of support really fast. Dude, president.
Yep.
Okay. And Trump knows that. Trump is tainted. Even in a lot of Republican circles, Trump is tainted.
Yes.
Okay.
There's not as much support for him as there was before.
He was Operation Warp Speed guy.
Yep.
Okay. He's still talking about the benefits of the V product, right? How is a Republican you can sit through the last 3 years in this country and support anybody for president that pushed that V product is beyond me. So I think that Trump understood what was going on. He's not a dumb man. He's very smart. I think that he understood what was going on and he needed a national outrage to help get him his support back. And he knew that a very easy way to do that would be some kind of investigation.
Yes.
Where he's going to maybe be arrested and he needs everybody to go and protest for him and get his back. And he staged all of this.
Did you read the tweet that he put out? Or the not?
Did he tweet?
What is he?
Truth Social.
Truth. Excuse me. Truth Social and was it Facebook? Where's he allowed on right now? Where's he on social
media?
He's
on Twitter and Truth.
No, they just reinstated him on Facebook too.
Yeah, I think it might have been a Facebook post. Yeah. But anyway, it was all caps. It was take your country back, protest, I'm going to be arrested. And so when he said it, I was like, okay, this adds a little layer to it because I never believed it to begin with. He was going to be arrested. And I'm like, now he's saying it. So now I do believe it's
I believe
a campaign
that he
thing.
Manufactured the entire thing.
You think it's a whole, the whole thing was
the whole
from
thing
his
is
side.
Manufactured. Yeah. I think he manufactured it entirely.
It's a good take.
To get support away from DeSantis and back onto him. Because DeSantis is getting a lot of fucking support, dude. And it's splitting the Republicans. It is.
Right.
And it doesn't matter because at the end of the day, it's just a primary anyways. It's not the general, right? If DeSantis wins and all the Trump Republicans don't get behind DeSantis, well, they're fucking stupid.
I agree.
They're dumb. They're fucking idiots. They're dumb idiots, right? If all the DeSantis, if Trump wins the primary and all the DeSantis Republicans don't get behind Trump, they're probably fucking stupid too. You know what I mean?
I mean, how long is it going to be though before we hear this? Listen, we're going against Biden. How can we possibly lose this? But I want everyone to be prepared.
It'll be very easy to
Biden could get reelected.
Yeah, it could be very easy.
This dude could get reelected. Just I'm predicting this right now.
Hey, listen, Biden.
I predicted another 4 years.
Listen, Biden got more of the popular vote than any president in the history of the whole
country.
It's
miraculous. It's
miraculous. I mean, so he even got 2 or 3 votes from the same people. I don't know how, but he did it.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So it is very possible. And so if the Republicans want to win in 2024, right? Is that when the next election is?
Yeah, 2024.
That's next year.
Show up in person.
Is it already almost here next year?
Show up in person.
Holy fucking shit, dude. I can't believe it's almost here already. That's crazy.
Everybody's saying is don't, if you want to stave off any attempts at tomfoolery,
you better
vote in person.
Yeah.
Don't mail in your votes.
Yeah, mail in votes.
That's the conspiracy theory is they're counting and they're like, wait a second, we need this many.
Mailing in
Stop
votes
counting, we'll finish tomorrow.
Mailing in votes has always been stupid as fuck to me, dude. Always. I would never, unless you're
Fuck uses the mail?
Dude, hey, just
listen,
pull the mic.
Listen. The whole mail-in voting thing without getting banned or anything.
I need to get Ryan to understand something. Ryan, if you speak at the microphone, nobody can hear you. You have to pull it to your face. There you go. Just like that. Okay, and then when he wants it, you just got to swivel it back. There you go. Yep, it just swivels.
That's the only way they're going to hear us.
Listen. I am currently in the process of producing the audiobook for Dave Benner's Thomas Paine: A Life of Radicalism. I am by next week. I should be done with chapter 3. There's 7 chapters. It's a 465 page book. It's not easy. It's taken me a lot of time. He's a phenomenal writer that uses very big words. I have to keep the dictionary open on my computer, dude. Okay. And there's a couple, God bless him. Fuck you, David. There's a couple of French names that I have to pronounce. I'm not very happy about, but I'll do it anyways. And I haven't done them well either. I actually put in placeholders. So I have to go back and redo. But anyways, so part of the payment for that book is one, I'll get some royalties from ACX, of course.
Okay.
Every book that's sold, I'll get some royalties. And of course, hopefully David gets much more than I do. He's a phenomenal writer and he really put a lot in this book, dude. But also, there was a per finished hour rate that's going to buy us a new audio interface and some new microphones. So we won't have to deal with this shit anymore. We won't have to deal with the echo from that weird fucking red mic over there.
Awesome.
We'll have normal mics, normal audio interface with enough channels to give everybody a mic. And hopefully we can get some mic stands too. If any of you guys want to buy a mic stand, feel free. But anyways,
I need to advertise that on the show. We're gonna advertise buy
the
audio book.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Sell the shit out of this.
As soon as that fucking audio book comes out, you guys better go buy it and listen to me read all about Thomas Paine's life. First of all, I had not gotten the chance to read the whole book before I got the job to do this. I had only made it 2 chapters in. Now that I've read a lot of the book, it's a fucking really good book, dude. I couldn't believe how good the book was. Like I know he had been researching Thomas Paine for a long time, but man, he put this book together so well, and it tells the story, about his radicalism, and not just like a fucking, it's not just like a run of the mill biography, right? It's actually talking about who Thomas Paine was as a radical, and I fucking love it, dude. It's really, really good. Very good book. Definitely pick up the hard copy too, but listen to the audiobook and support us. But anyways, so we will have this mic issue fixed over the next couple months, I promise. But anyways, yeah, I believe the whole thing is staged entirely by the Trump campaign, to help get Trump support to beat DeSantis. I really do. I really do.
Yeah, I just don't really care for this particular psyop.
It's always the one psyop. Yeah. All psyop, anyways. Everything we see every day is a fucking psyop, anyways, dude. You know what I mean? That's all it is. I don't know. Anyways, we're getting close to the end of the public stream. Of course, we'll do a members only stream tonight where we'll say racist things and talk about ethos. That's probably not what we're going to talk about.
Are we going to show that video?
Which video?
Are we
going to? Oh, we could upload that. We'll show the video once we get into the members only stream, okay, and talk, yeah, about it more. But we should talk about this. I mean, this is the result.
We can tease it.
It's funny because as a libertarian, I enjoy multiculturalism. I'm not gonna lie, I do. I have most of my life. I grew up in California. You know, when they were like, hey, if they win, they're gonna have taco trucks on every corner. I was like, God damn it, thank you.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
I love taco trucks, dude. I grew up in California. The more tacos, the better. But there is a point where racial divides will start to play into some violence, dude. And it's happening almost entirely in Democratic states.
Yeah.
Almost entirely in Democratic states. Now, this doesn't happen. It doesn't happen in Iowa, dude. It doesn't happen in a lot of places in Texas. It doesn't happen in a lot of places in probably even rural Minnesota or Connecticut, or you know what I mean? Like, probably doesn't happen much in New Hampshire, but New York, Chicago, San Francisco, Oakland, LA, right? It's really becoming this like racial fucking fight, dude. Now, these are the countries or the states and the cities that are supposed to be very respectful of all diversity and this and that and this and that. Why is it that it's happening in those places, but not in places like where we live, where we do have racial diversity in Iowa, probably not as much as Chicago per se, but in Des Moines for sure. And we don't have that kind of racial hate and fights here.
There's a big difference between the bigger cities, Democrat run, and then more of a Republican run Iowa. So we're a refugee state. I'm pretty sure that's our status currently. It's been that way, I think, since the 60s or 70s. So we had a lot of boat people from Southeast Asia. They came over, right? So Laotians, Cambodians, Vietnamese. So believe it or not, our climate in the summer, kind of similar, right? So blended in pretty easily. We've had Bosnians come over.
Yeah, there's a big Bosnian Somalians population here, and Somalians.
Yep. Somalians, West Africans. I mean, everywhere. We welcome them in.
Yeah.
So it's not a problem here because
we have that kind of racial.
Because we don't have to sell it.
Right.
We don't have to sell diversity. We don't have to force it. We don't have to make laws to enforce it. It just happens here organically, and people are grateful for it. And we love it's a mutual thing. In bigger cities, you shouldn't have to sell diversity. You shouldn't have sold it.
No, you shouldn't have to sell diversity. And, you know, they make it. I think that the way these cities have kept this democratic controlled thing has been by stoking racial divides and making it out to be, if you hate the evil white person or whatever, then and you're voting, you need to vote Democrat. It's the only way to win. Right. And they've stoked those racial fires to the point where now they're seeing these racial divides. I've never seen such racist rants on video anywhere in my life outside of the cities.
I saw a chart today that showed the steep incline on the use of the word racist in major publications like the Washington Post, New York Times.
Well, that started in 2012 after
2013 was when it's increased by like 450%.
Well, and Dave Smith has talked a lot about this. The reason why that is because of the Occupy movement. The country started coalescing and coming together, regardless of even their economic differences, right? Everyone started coming together to fight these bailouts and the big banks and the crash and the economic policies and wars even. It was really, really anti-war around here at that time. They knew that people were coming together, right? And that is when, and Dave says it's a straight up psyop. That's when all these internet publications started going, talking about how racist people are and all this stuff. And you can look at the trends. It'll show you, like, it spiked like 3,000% or something like that.
And that's also when the culture on college campuses started to dramatically shift.
Yep.
Because I lived through that. I graduated high school in 2013.
Jesus.
And so by the end of college, there was more than one course that I took that was just straight up indoctrination.
The country started coming together to attack the 1%, and they stoked racial divides and economic divides and political ideology divides and every divide they could figure out to keep everybody fighting each other. That's legitimately what happened. And you and Dave Smith has put the graphics up on his show. Like, you can see it. Like, it's end of 2012, 2013, it spiked like 3,000%. And ever since then, life has changed entirely. Because you remember before 2012, we used to tell racist jokes on MySpace to each other all the time. No one gave a fuck.
I can take it back even into the 90s. In middle school, everybody remembers older people remember, when OJ was driving in the white Bronco, right? So when that decision came out, I remember that was in middle school. And we had something going on. It was like the Steppers or something like that. It was like a dance group mostly black kids at our middle school. And something about one of them got in trouble and was denied going to prom. And so they protested. They protested for this one girl. She shouldn't be barred from going to prom for getting in trouble. It was something like that. And they had staged.
I was denied from a prom once.
So they staged a little protest, right? And so they probably saw it on TV, like LA riots time, right? So they had this protest and they walked on the lawn. I'll never forget. I looked outside and went, "You can do that? Oh, wow." As in middle school, I was like, "Oh, you can just walk out of the school and say, you're not fucking doing this?"
No shit.
And it was racially divided. And I was like, huh, interesting. Just made an impression on me, you know?
Well, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Ryan won't be old enough to answer this question, but you may be. Did you have a MySpace?
I did have a MySpace.
You had a MySpace?
Yep.
Can you ever remember a time when you were on MySpace that you had an internet fight the way that you would on Twitter?
Oh, never.
Not once.
Not once.
Not once. Not anywhere near, dude.
No.
Not even close. And there's a reason for that.
It wasn't politicized.
We were psyoped into fighting each other online, dude. Literally. All of us. We never had a fucking fight on MySpace like that, dude. Not once. And you could sit there and go back and forth and comment just like you can on everything now, right? What's the theory where everything on the internet will eventually divulge into someone saying Hitler? What is that?
Yeah,
what is that called? What is that called?
I can't remember.
That never happened before.
That never happened.
In MySpace days. Like, we never did that shit, dude. You could do whatever the fuck you want on MySpace. They never kicked you off. You could say whatever you wanted, and we never got to where you are now. Now you could be kicked off for saying any veritable cornucopia of wrong think words.
Yeah, that's true.
And we fight more than we ever have.
My theory is that started to happen once white women figured out the internet.
Once what?
White women figured out the internet.
White women were all over MySpace, doggy.
But not...
I'd venture to say that like 68% of MySpace was white women.
Yeah.
Godwin's law.
Okay.
Yeah, Godwin's law. That's right. That's what it was. Godwin's law is the one where everything on the internet eventually divulges.
I would argue that you thought 68% was white women, but probably only about 10% were the other 58% were just dudes pretending to be white women.
I hate to say this. I'm dying.
I hate to say this.
But I was in metal and hardcore and screamo bands back in the MySpace days. So I was very popular on MySpace, dude. Like up there with like Chandra Hart and like these very popular scene space, dog. And it still exists, my MySpace, by the way.
What?
Yes. I challenge any of you to go and find it. Maybe mine does too. I sometimes, every once in a great while, I go log back into my MySpace.
My God.
Just to see what's going on over there.
Time travel.
It's definitely a shell of what it used to be. A lot of people are not on MySpace anymore, of course. My page has been all rearranged. It's a completely different website than it used to be. But I was very popular on MySpace. I traveled all over the West Coast just because of MySpace, like hanging out with people. I had friends Yeah, dude, it was fucking nuts. And my band was on MySpace. Of course, my band pages are still there, but you can't play the music for some reason, which sucks because there was a band I was in called Alleged Alibi that was like one of my very favorite bands, and I can't find the EP that we put out anywhere. And it was like still on MySpace, but a MySpace player won't play it for some reason. Yeah, I was big on there.
That's
and
awesome.
And another thing, I was very big on Vine, if you guys remember Vine. And I woke up one morning and my Vine was gone and all of my content was gone. Vine was just gone. It disappeared overnight. And a lot of people had been using other platforms like Logan Paul and all these guys, right? They'd been using other platforms, so all their content was on other platforms. Mine was only on Vine.
Only on Vine.
And it was gone. All of it. Every single ounce of it. And I was like, I was big on Vine, dude. I had like 100,000 followers or something like that. I was getting really big fast. Yeah. But, you know, life is life. But yeah, this never happened. This never happened on MySpace, dude. So why is it happening now, 10 years later?
I do blame people, but I also blame the tech. The tech it's incentivized negativity instead of incentivizing positivity. And just human nature, you know.
Robert Pena says he disagrees with my argument a tiny bit. What about 4chan? 4chan wasn't like it is now.
4chan.
It wasn't like it is now either. It used to be really dumb fucking like the one panel memes, dude. And that was it. And even 4chan wasn't like that back then. We have been psyoped entirely to fight each other online all day long. Because listen, what takes up, okay, for most of you people that are chronically online like I am, guys, I'm chronically online. I'm at work, I'm at home, I'm on fucking line all the time. How much time do you think you expend doing that, fighting online? From sun up to sundown, dude. I mean, how
much? Not anymore.
Hours.
Not anymore.
Hours, yeah. Dude. Hours every day. They keep us from being productive with the internet. They keep us from fighting their bad policies with the internet. They keep us fighting each other and separated with the fucking internet, dude.
It's a digital opioid.
I'm telling you, there was a gentleman who warned us of these things.
He happened to have a small rustic cabin.
He have small rustic cabin, yeah.
But very clean.
Very, yeah, pretty spot.
And he had a lot of supplies.
Yeah, he had a lot of supplies, and he was a little crazy. Wrote a manifesto. You could probably still read it if you look it up. But he warned us of this shit. And listen, dude.
If you take one line out of that, it's perfect.
I don't condone the...
Take the line out where you know, unalive people.
Right, right.
And everything he said makes sense.
Right. So there's... Okay. There's... We don't want to send mail bombs to people. It's a bad idea, okay? I would never, ever condone killing and murder and violence. But maybe, just maybe... Even when there's a bad person that does bad things, a couple of their words might hold weight and might be true and might want to understand what that means. The internet has destroyed us as a people. And I fear that as human beings, I mean, we're not going to make it. And I think the internet had a lot to do with it. A ton to do with it.
Sped it up.
Way sped it up. Dude. I don't know.
Oh, well, what do you think the medium of us not making it will be?
The human race is going to end as we know it, eventually.
How?
Well, I don't know. The Bible says it's going to happen for sure.
Okay.
The irony of this is it's going to be like a giant EMP.
Something's going to...
Like what?
yeah, it's
very
everyone's going to die without the internet.
The very opioid that's feeding us. And we're suckling on that tit.
Oh, it's going to kill us all.
We're distracted from our problems. An EMP is going to take it out. And it'll be ripped away like cold turkey, and we'll just be raving lunatics.
Yes. Yep.
The end. Yeah.
Like people coming down off opiates, dude. Legitimately.
Fast zombies.
Well, I mean, right now, if I had to place my money, it would be on the rapidly declining birth rate.
Dude, can you imagine? Listen. If every libertarian or liberty-leaning Republican in this country logged off the fucking internet tomorrow and went and used all the time they use on the internet actually fighting the system, we would win. We would win. It would be over. It would be over. but you have to actually do it, right? I'm not saying that as somebody who's doing that right now. I'm just as bad as you are, if not worse, okay? I'm chronically online. I have 6 kids. I have a job that I've been working 60 and then 72 hours alternating weeks all for the last 3 months straight, okay? I have the show. I have a bunch of shit, okay? But if we all logged off tomorrow and let them all talk about fucking trans kids and whatever else the fuck they want to talk about, and we went down to the fucking Capitol and we started working on legislation and pushing senators, state senators and state reps into doing things that we want them to do, and we started running campaigns locally, it'd be over for them, dude. They could not stop us. There's too many of us.
Did you follow that bathroom bill?
No, I didn't.
They passed? Okay. Pay attention to that shit. I don't want to say it's something stupid because I haven't read the whole thing, but I think that was a law that was passed just exactly what you're saying. They didn't go crazy online. They didn't show up and do a protest. I think there was a rally. There might have been one rally, but they just called their representatives.
Yeah.
A lot of them did.
Yeah. Well, that's like the dark, you know, stuff that was just going on too. Like, if you just call the people and be like, listen, there's hundreds of thousands of us that support this. If you don't do it, we're getting rid of you tomorrow. You're out of here. Like, we need to start making politicians fucking uncomfortable because they are way too comfortable in their roles, dude.
Listen, I don't think they're contacted enough. I really don't.
Listen,
I think
they
it's
are
a small percentage that actually
too
makes a phone
fucking
call.
Comfortable in their position.
Yes.
Dude. Way too comfortable. They know that they can have a monopoly on violence, dog. But do they? I don't know. That's for you to decide. I think we're done here. Guys, you got anything before we take off? Ryan?
Give me some yep cocks in the chat before we go.
Yep cocks.
Follow me on Twitter at BulldogGamer28.
AJ?
Oh, yes. Follow me on Twitter, poison_tip. And teaser, I'm going to have my live scorpion cage here pretty soon.
What?
It's going to be awesome.
Oh, what? Not in the studio.
I don't know what
not.
That means.
Well, I used to have emperor scorpions for pets.
That's cool.
I had a couple of them at a time.
Don't
I bred
bring them over here.
I bred them for a time. But
why?
They're tropical. They're amazing.
No, they're not.
They're amazing.
They're fucking scorpions.
Yeah,
they suck.
They crawl on your hands.
It's his fetish.
They're like spiders that sting you, dude. It sucks.
Yeah, I'm afraid of arachnids, okay, spiders. So I didn't want to get a tarantula.
So
I
like
put
the,
I pussied
you like
out.
The spiders that have exoskeletons. Is what
yeah, that's I got a scorpion as a on a whim to get over that fear. So as soon as I got them walking on my hands, I'm like, I think I could do this with a tarantula.
You should have
I just never did.
They're way better than fucking scorpions. They don't even hurt you.
I think it's the hair that fucking does it for me. It's the hair on
them.
They
don't have an exoskeleton, dog.
No, scorpions are very sleek. They look like little.
Have you been stung
weapons.
By one before?
No, never stung.
Fuck that, dude.
No, I never got pinched either. I did some dumb shit drunk.
It doesn't,
with them
it doesn't at all surprise me that you would have scorpions, though. It just doesn't.
So I'm going to get another one. They're like $40.
Cool.
I'm going to get a couple.
That's cool. Yeah. We should get a camel spider and watch them fight. See. Who...
Yeah.
I hear the scorpion usually wins.
Yeah. A lot of armor.
Yeah. Exoskeleton, dude. If we had exoskeletons, life would be a lot different. Yeah. Car crashes and...
No airbags needed.
High velocity ammo.
Oh yeah.
I love you guys to death. We'll be back with an all new show on Thursday. I think we have a guest, but I don't remember who it is right now. I gotta look into that shit. Before we take off though, if you guys would do me a favor, seriously, because I love this wonderful gentleman who started this company, Peacehawk Coffee. With this small coffee roasting business, Peacehawk will sell delicious micro-batch roasted coffee online while donating at least $1 of every pound sold to worthy foreign aid organizations like Yemen Relief Reconstruction Foundation. While their initial focus will be on Yemen Ethiopian coffee, they'll also have some affordable Central American varieties available too, like the Honduran one that I love to death. However, Peacehawk will always donate at least $1 for every pound sold to worthy foreign aid organizations. When you buy Peacehawk coffee, you're not only buying great coffee, you have a chance to support the economies of countries struggling against the effects of war. You'll be supporting stellar private aid foundations doing life-saving work abroad, support stateside peace activists like myself and Will Hobson, who started this company, great gentleman. The name Peacehawk will be the counter to the war hawk who is aggressively pro-war. This company will be aggressively pro-peace. Sign up today at their email list at peacehawk.coffee. That's where you'll find out how you can buy all this wonderful stuff. Guys, we have a pour-over. We have a Keurig. We have a French press, and I've done this coffee in all three of them. They're great. It's great coffee. Please go support it, man. If you support the anti-war sentiment and you're a coffee drinker, you can't lose by doing this. I promise. I'll see you guys on what, Thursday? Thursday, right?
Thursday.
Cool. Until then, don't forget to break the cycle.
Due to legal reasons, I just have to explain. The lyrics of my last song may seem to contain a violent call to action in the verse and refrain. But I just landed in Minecraft. The helicopter part was in reference to GTA 5 and the things you do. So any violence you commit, I am not an excuse, because I just landed in Minecraft. Woodchipper is my friend and he's constantly cold. Accusations of incitement getting totally old. Make your own choices, yeah, you have control, because I just landed in Minecraft. Obviously, I would never advocate force, unless it's due process and a trial, of course. And if you're convicted, we will make you a corpse in Minecraft, just in Minecraft. You're nothing, I mean, you know it. Don't try to finish, cause you're close to COVID.